This is Ann Wheeler with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And during the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information with you. This information is selected from the Nutrition Action Health Letter, a publication of the Center for Science and the Public Interest, based in Washington, D.C. The Center for Science and the Public Interest was founded in 1971 by three scientists who wanted to apply their academic training to the solving of social problems. It conducts innovative research and programs in health and nutrition, and it provides consumers with current information about their health and well-being. An independent, nonprofit consumer health group, the center promotes honest food labeling and advertising, safer and more nutritious foods, and pro-health alcohol policies. The work of the Center for Science and the Public Interest is supported by Nutrition Action Health Letter subscribers and by foundation grants. It accepts no government or industry funding, and Nutrition Action Health Letter, first published in 1974, accepts no advertising. The following edition of Nutrition News is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. In the cover story of the April 2011 issue of Nutrition Action Health Letter, senior nutritionist David Chart discusses how exercise and diet can help preserve our muscles. Muscles are for more than lifting. They keep us walking, jogging, swimming, or dancing. They burn off excess calories, and they make us look fit, not flabby. But sometime during middle age, we begin to lose a small amount of muscle each year. For some people, that may mean less golf or yard work, or picking up the grandkids. For others, less muscle can lead to falls, and eventually to dependence on relatives, friends, or professional caregivers to get through the day. We all lose muscle as we age. Scientists are not sure what causes sarcopenia, or muscle loss with aging. Throughout our lives, our bodies are continually breaking down, repairing, and then building the proteins that make up our muscles. But at some point, we start to break down more protein than we synthesize. And the best way to restore the balance is strength training. There is nothing like it if you want to build muscle or stem muscle loss. But researchers are also finding that how much of which kind of protein we eat and how it is distributed throughout the day may also matter as we age. Muscle is the absolute centerpiece for being healthy, vital, and independent as we grow older, says Miriam Nelson, director of the John Hancock Research Center on Physical Activity, Nutrition, and Obesity Prevention at Tufts University's Friedman School of Nutrition, Science, and Policy in Boston. Muscle keeps us strong and mobile. It is where most of our calories are burned. So having more muscle means burning more calories, which makes it easier to stay trim. And muscle helps us appear younger. What makes us look older more than anything else is losing muscle and gaining body fat as we age, says Dr. Nelson. But starting in their late 30s or early 40s, most people lose about 1/4 pound of muscle every year. We do not know how much is hardwired to the aging process and how much is caused by poor nutrition and physical inactivity, Dr. Nelson notes. What we do know is that there is one surefire way to slow down muscle loss and to build more muscle. So, you want to preserve your muscles? Then lift weights or do other kinds of strength training, which is also called resistance or weight training. That is the intervention of choice for preventing muscle loss, says Ben Hurley, who has been studying strength training for more than 20 years at the University of Maryland. In one study, Dr. Hurley and his colleagues recruited 23 healthy men and women in their 60s and 70s to do resistance training 3 days a week on one of their legs using exercise machines. The participants' unexercised legs served as controls for comparison. After 9 weeks, the size of the exercised muscles increased by 12%, and the strength of the exercised leg increased by almost 30%. Resistance training can also help improve muscle power, says Dr. Hurley. That's the ability of muscles to produce the force and speed of movement necessary to perform a wide range of simple, everyday tasks. You can have strong muscles, but if you have too little muscle power, you might have trouble getting out of a car or even a chair, Dr. Hurley explains. Muscle power is also key to helping older people avoid falls, he adds. The speed with which you can move your muscles to catch yourself from falling on the stairs, for example, may be more important than the amount of strength your muscles have. In a recent study by Dr. Hurley and his colleagues, 50 healthy but sedentary men and women, aged 65 to 85, did strength training exercises that targeted all the major muscle groups, that is, the chest, the shoulders, the arms, the back, the abdomen, and the legs. And they did these exercises 3 times a week. After 12 weeks, they could do simple tasks, like getting up from a chair and sitting down again 5 times in a row, or getting up from a chair, walking 8 feet around a cone, and then sitting down again. They could do these tasks faster than they could when they entered the study. But bigger, more powerful muscles are not the only benefits of resistance exercise. The nice thing about strength training is that it also maintains or possibly improves bone mineral density, says the University of Oklahoma's Michael Bembin. In an Oregon State University study, 35 postmenopausal women in their early 50s who were told to do weightlifting exercises twice a week for a year increased the bone density of their spine by about 0.5%. While 34 similar women who did not do the exercises lost roughly 3.5% of their spine bone density. Strength training can also help control blood sugar in people with type 2 diabetes. In one study, Canadian researchers had 64 men and women with type 2 diabetes aged 39 to 70 do 7 resistance exercises 3 times a week. And after 22 weeks, their hemoglobin A1C, which reflects long-term blood glucose levels, was significantly lower than the levels of 63 similar people who did no strength training. Strength training builds muscle. So may eating enough of the right kind of protein as we get older, say researchers in the United States, Canada, and the Netherlands. Measuring changes in how the body builds proteins over minutes and hours They have discovered that as we age, we appear to need more protein, especially the kind that's rich in the amino acid leucine. How might protein build muscle? When we eat protein, it's broken down in the gastrointestinal tract into amino acids, which are then absorbed into the bloodstream. The rapid change in the concentrations of the amino acids in the blood after a meal serves as a signal to turn on the metabolic pathways that lead to the synthesis of new protein, says Douglas Padden Jones of the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. However, there may be a wrinkle as we age. Our studies show that older individuals need a larger amount of amino acids to stimulate protein synthesis than younger people, says Arizona State University researcher Christos Katsanos. We notice that in people 60 and older, their cells resist making new tissue after they consume small amounts of protein, says Micah Drummond of the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. Large amounts of protein, on the other hand, do not seem to be a problem. If you give 30 grams of protein, the amount found in 4 ounces of cooked beef or chicken, to a young adult and to an older adult, their protein synthesis response is the same, says Dr. Padden Jones. But if we lower the amount of protein and give them an egg and a glass of milk, which together have about 14 grams of protein, the result will be much different. Young adults can synthesize about half as much protein from 14 grams as they can from 30 grams, explains Dr. Padden Jones, but not so in older adults. Providing them with 5, 10, or 14 grams of dietary protein does not give them much of a bump in protein synthesis, he notes. Not only may older people need more protein, says Dr. Padden Jones, they may need to spread out their protein more evenly throughout the day. The typical meal pattern most of us follow, particularly older adults, is to begin the day with a carbohydrate-rich, protein-poor breakfast, such as cereal or a bagel, explains Dr. Padden Jones. And lunch may or may not be protein-rich. Then a lot of us load up on protein at the evening meal with a big serving of meat, poultry, or fish. And that is not ideal, say some researchers. There's an upper limit on how much protein in a single meal you can use for muscle synthesis, says Elena Volpe, the Daisy Emery Allen Distinguished Chair in Geriatric Medicine at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. The upper limit appears to be about 30 grams. Consuming more than that does not stimulate more protein synthesis, notes Dr. Volpe. The rest is going to be stored as fat or burned off as calories. That's why most people would probably benefit from shifting some protein from dinner to breakfast. Low-protein breakfasts may be okay when you are younger, but later down the road, they may not be, says Dr. Drummond. Beginning in middle age, when we begin to lose muscle, we should be making a transition from a low-protein to a higher-protein breakfast in order to remain stronger and healthier. Dr. Padden Jones suggests aiming for 30 grams of high-quality protein, and that means it comes from dairy, meat, poultry, fish, or eggs at each of the three main meals. Veteran protein researcher Wayne Campbell of the Purdue University thinks that's probably unrealistic. Should we be recommending that people try to achieve at least 20 grams of protein at each meal? Dr. Campbell says yes. But expecting people to go as high as 30 grams a meal, that gets a little bit more challenging, especially at breakfast and lunch. It is not just the amount, but the kind of protein that may matter for muscle building. Our bodies can make 11 of the 20 amino acids that are the building blocks of protein, and therefore of muscle tissue. Since we have to rely on our food for the other 9, they are called essential. Only the essential amino acids in food stimulate protein synthesis, says Dr. Katsanos. And one of those 9, leucine, appears to be the most powerful for making protein. Leucine is more than a building block of new protein. It is the key amino acid that's driving the majority of the protein synthesis response, explains Dr. Drummond. In a one-day study, older men who were given extra leucine synthesized more protein than those who did not get extra leucine. In younger men, leucine did not matter. While researchers do not know exactly how much leucine is optimal, early research suggests that it may be around 3 grams per meal, says Dr. Drummond. The proteins that are richest in essential amino acids and leucine are the animal proteins, such as eggs, dairy, meat, poultry, and fish, explains Dr. Padden-Jones. Whey protein, which makes up about 20% of the protein in milk, has the highest concentration of leucine compared to other proteins, says Dr. Katsanos. That's one reason why whey, which is a byproduct of cheese making, is the source of protein in many bodybuilding powders. Plant proteins are okay too, notes Elena Volpe, but they have lesser amounts of leucine. So individually, they may not be as efficient as animal proteins. The best of the vegetable proteins seems to be soy, she adds. Just do not expect extra leucine to make you look like a bodybuilder. When Dutch researchers gave 30 healthy older men either 7.5 grams of leucine or a placebo every day for 3 months, they saw no difference in muscle strength or mass. But the extra leucine may not have mattered because the men were getting enough protein. They averaged 83 grams per day from their food. If you do strength training, researchers say that you should try to eat some protein after you're completed. We found that you get the largest anabolic response by far when protein is consumed after exercise, says Dr. Drummond. Anabolic means tissue building. Dr. Katsanos agrees. During resistance exercise, he explains, signaling proteins that regulate protein synthesis shut down. So having extra amino acids around while you are exercising will not help build protein. These signaling proteins are turned back on minutes after the exercise is over, says Dr. Katsanos. So it seems that immediately after exercise would be the best time to consume protein or amino acids to build up protein in the muscle. That also makes sense for other reasons, Dr. Drummond points out. Who really wants to do a semi-decent workout on a full tummy? I don't even know if you would be able to perform or put the same level of effort in if you're eating a heavy protein meal before exercise. Just don't worry if you cannot eat right away. If you wait an hour or two after you exercise, you're still going to get some benefit, says Dr. Padden Jones. But if you wait 6, 7, 8 hours, you won't get so much benefit. There is no doubt that inadequate protein intake accelerates the loss of muscle with age, says Purdue University's Wayne Campbell. But if you already get enough protein, will eating more help you build or stop losing muscle over the long term? Most studies have come up empty. For example, 45 Australian men aged 50 to 79 who were asked to drink about 13 ounces of milk containing 13 grams of protein every day did not have any more muscle after 1.5 years than 44 similar men who did not get the milk supplement. And 45 men assigned to drink the milk and do strength training 3 times a week added no more muscle than 46 similar men who did the exercises and drank no milk. But all the men in the study were getting plenty of protein. That is 1.5 times the amount recommended by U.S. health authorities. They were already getting plenty of protein when they entered the trial. If an individual is already exercising and consuming adequate protein as part of their normal diet, you would not really expect to see big improvements by simply adding more protein, notes Dr. Padden Jones. So how much protein is adequate? The Institute of Medicine recommends that adults consume 0.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight every day. The recommended dietary allowance, or RDA, works out to roughly 55 grams if you weigh 150 pounds and 65 grams if you weigh 175 pounds. And not everybody gets that much. Around 15% of people in their 60s and 40% of those in their 80s are not getting the recommended dietary allowance, notes Dr. Campbell. And many researchers believe that the recommended dietary allowance is too low. When 10 men and women aged 55 to 77 ate diets providing exactly their RDAs for protein for 14 weeks, they lost muscle from their thighs. There is general agreement that moderately increasing daily protein intake beyond the recommended dietary allowance may enhance muscle protein synthesis in older adults, says Dr. Campbell. So how much more protein should people be eating? 25 to 50% higher than the RDA is very reasonable and has no health risks for healthy older adults, says Dr. Campbell. That translates into an amount of protein in grams that's roughly equal to half your weight in pounds, or about 75 grams of protein every day for someone who weighs 150 pounds. So, in summary, here's the bottom line. The only proven way to build muscle or to slow muscle loss as you age is to do regular strength training. In eating the recommended dietary allowance for protein, 0.36 grams a day for every pound you weigh, will keep you healthy, but it may not be enough to stop you from losing muscle as you get older, even if you're doing strength training. To maintain or gain muscle, you may need 25 to 50% more protein than the recommended dietary allowance. To reach that much, aim for an amount of protein in grams that's equal to half your weight in pounds. Regarding the use of supplements to build muscle or prevent muscle loss, creatine can significantly increase lean muscle mass, says bodybuilding.com. Creatine is a natural compound that is found in our bodies and in foods like meat, poultry, and seafood. Creatine makes energy available to muscles during times of high demand. It costs around $10 to $40 for a month's supply, and older men and women who take creatine supplements right before or after doing resistance training increase their muscle mass by an additional 2 to 3% compared with similar strength trainers who take a placebo, according to a new, yet-to-be-published study by Darren Kandow of the University of Regina in Saskatchewan, Canada. Creatine increases muscular strength by 40% compared to 15% for a placebo, says Dr. Kandow. Those results confirm earlier research. And vegetarians get the most benefit from creatine because they do not get a lot of it from their diets. The bottom line, creatine is probably the most effective and safest supplement for improving muscle size, says Dr. Kandow. And his advice is to aim for about 1 gram of creatine for every 20 pounds you weigh on the days that you exercise. Well, folks, we've reached the conclusion of this month's segment of Nutrition News. This show will be rebroadcast this week on Friday at 11 p.m. and on Saturday at 3 p.m. Please join me for the next edition of Nutrition News, which will air on Wednesday, June 1st at 4 p.m. I'm Ann Weller, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and I hope that you've enjoyed the show. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. It is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next month.